Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 180, an even number, Scott.
I like even numbers. You can always count on them. Have I used that one before?
No, that's such a dad joke.
I was going to say, I'm getting my dad jokes out of the way early here, folks.
Of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast, my name is Jeff Singh. Alongside next to me is my real-life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, on this show, we've got news. We've got Figure Friday. We have Ryan from Wrestling Toy Tracker to announce the giveaway. We are playing Who Did It Better and rounding it out with the listener segments. Everyone, head on over to Pro Wrestling Tees. They are having a holiday sale, a 4th of July sale. Pick up any of our shirts in our store. You can get a discount. Basically, you get our shirts for cheap. How do you like that, Scott?
I love it. You can outfit yourself for the entire week. Buy one of each or buy multiples of each and save money.
And if you happen to miss the sale, you can also head over to whatamaneuver.net, pick up a tank top for the summer. You can also pick up a sweatshirt if you happen to be in those cold, chilly nights, wherever that may be. Or just pick up a regular shirt to look hot and sexy out and about.
And don't forget, sun's out, guns out. Buy those tank tops, folks.
You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, any of them at all, on fullyposablepodcast.com. If you're on the go, you can download that Podbean app, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Please rate and review on iTunes. Scott, like this one, it comes in from Josh Wallen. It says, a must listen for ... cuts off. Gave us sweet 5 stars. He says, this is the most well-rounded action figure podcast available. Jeff and Scott are knowledgeable, well-connected, and heavily engaged in the Fig Life community. Even if you're not a wrestling figure collector, the stories, insight, advice apply to many other fields of collecting. Honestly, the Fig Life movement should be practiced by all figure genres. Funko, Star Wars, and Marvel Legends collectors would all learn a thing or two by putting Fully Posable's practices into place. Down with the scalpers. Long live the Fig Life. Thank you, Josh. That means a lot, man.
Josh, thank you for the kind words. And yes, the Fig Life is definitely down, meaning take them down with the scalpers. Not cool with that at all. So yes, Fig Life, we're all about helping each other out. And really, any toy community, be it Star Wars, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, superheroes with the Marvel Legends, whatever, all you got to do is help each other out. Nobody wants to pay a scalper. Nobody wants to go onto eBay and pay inflated prices. So any community that wants to jump on board with the Fig Life, the more the merrier.
Absolutely. And I am sending a call out. We only have one more review next week, and then we're all out. So if you guys would be so kind, head on over to iTunes, leave a 5-star review. If not, Scott and I are just start making stuff up.
Oh, I am totally down with that.
You're just going to start making stuff up?
Yes, I've got a few names in the hat and a few kind words to throw our way, except for one would just like write us a scathing review. Like he hates our guts.
Boring, just boring, right?
No, I already did that one. I mean, yeah, that one was already sent in by someone else.
By the way, you can get that shirt also on Pro Wrestling Tees holiday sale, 4th of July sale. So,
yeah, if you don't like us, go buy that shirt. We don't see a penny of it. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Know what I mean?
You can send us any audio questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp @gmail.com. Last week, we plugged Soda Hunter's PS4 hashtag Fig Life Arenas. He made Breaker and Baines, Doing the Favor, PPW podcast, and he made ours. Head on over there, download those arenas. I've seen a couple people do them. They look fantastic. Soda always does a killer job on these. He also did the Kasat show.
Absolutely. Thank you, Soda, for putting us out there, for putting Cassatt Show, Breaker Bane, the PPW guys doing the favor. We truly appreciate you putting us out there and always supporting us. Soda's been there from the jump, and we always appreciate his support. This is no exception. He put a ton of work into those PF4 mods.
Scott, we are about to announce the winner of the carded Hasbro Bushwhackers. And to help us announce those winners is Ryan from Wrestling Toy Tracker. We recorded with him last night, and we are happy to have him announce the winner. Joining us via Skype is Ryan from Wrestling Toy Tracker. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. We were just talking before we jumped on. You live in Chicago, but you're not going to be at All Out, and I'm disappointed because I was looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm more disappointed just because I live here and I can't get there, but it'll be okay. I'm sure it'll come back next year.
Did you go to All In?
No, I'm not going to All Out because I'm on vacation, and then I didn't go to All In because I was also on vacation. It's just bad timing.
I see a reoccurring theme here. I just kind of want to go over Wrestling Toy Tracker. What it is it's a website that gives you general prices of Hasbros, Retros, and LJNs. And before I start asking you these questions, I do want to say that this site amazes me because, and I think it's huge for the wrestling figure community and all of us, the Fig Life community, to use you because it's such a good way to kind of see if we're overpaying or underpaying or whatever it may be for Hasbros, for LJNs, for Retros. My question to you is, how did you ever come up with something like this?
Well, what happened was when I started getting back into collecting, going after mock Hasbro figures, looking online, trying to purchase these things, they're readily available, but the pricing is just all over the place. It was literally, you could be looking for mock listings and something's gonna be listed for $300, the same items listed for $100. It's in my head, I'm like, what's the real price of this item? Mm-hmm. And so through doing my collecting and just trolling eBay constantly, I started looking up the sold prices and tracking what each item sold at so I could come up with an average price that, you know, a fair market value, at least in my head, of this is, well, I shouldn't pay any more than this unless it's something of spectacular quality or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And it's very tedious. It was, you know, a giant Excel file that I have of all the wrestling figures and looking through it every few days and marking down, all right, this sold for this, the Boss Man sold for that, Texas Tornado sold for this. And so one of my buddies who was also collecting at the time, he started chiming in, looking at my notes, being like, well, hey, how much should I pay for this? Or I'm looking for this. What do your numbers say that it's going for? And that's when it kind of clicked in my head, like, this is something that other people can use. This is something that doesn't really exist, mm-hmm. and others can benefit from. Mm-hmm. So then another one of my wrestling collector friends, I was telling about it. He goes, I bet you there's a way that I can make something that will automatically do all this tracking so you don't have to manually do it. Now, I really don't know what he does. I'm not the most technologically advanced person in the world. I'm mm-hmm. surprised I'm on Skype with you right now. but developed this program that just collects all the data for us, and we can pull it at any time and see what the average price is going for. And so through that program and then myself and the other two guys just creating this website, that's kind of how it came to be. Like, it was just like, let's share this with the wrestling figure community because there isn't anything like this. Everyone's out there buying blind mm-hmm. at this point in time, unless you're really like scouting it out. And I view it as a fair value for the people that are looking to buy as well as the people that are looking to sell. Mm-hmm. Because I don't believe everyone out there is trying to make this high dollar amount on their figures that they're looking to sell. But if someone lists Boss Man Hasbro for $300 on eBay, and someone that doesn't know anything about the wrestling figures has one to sell and looks on eBay and says, well, there's an active listing for $300, I'll do $275. It's just like, it's not really worth that. Mm-hmm. So that's where using my website as a reference, you can then be like, okay, well, the average value is such and such. and it should be beneficial to both sellers and buyers to at least have a starting point. And I think that's the biggest thing, is having a starting point when it comes to collecting. Because everyone has the nostalgia, everyone has their connection to their pieces, and sometimes you're not willing to let it go, and that's okay. But at least having an informed decision of not letting a black car LJN Hulk Hogan figure go for $100 when you could probably make a little bit more off of that.
Now, is there any Hasbro that really shocked you, or LJ even, that you were like, whoa, I didn't think it was going to be that much, when you started kind of breaking down everything and the program was pulling in all the eBay sold listings and everything?
I would say the biggest surprise wasn't the, like, the highest value. It was more so the lower values, in my, at least in my opinion. Like, most of Series 10 Hasbros, your Marty Jannetty's and Bushwhackers and Head Shrinkers, very much on the low end. And I would say that that has to be my biggest surprise. Maybe even some of like Repo Man's value. I mean, that was a little high in my opinion, but okay, I'll take it. As far as the LJNs go, or actually, you know what? Both way, for both figure lines, the common figures demanding more money than what I view that they would. So Hasbro line, the Andre the Giant figure is one of the more expensive figures currently in the line. I view that that had to be something that everyone back in the day had to have.
Right.
You know, not everyone's going to have a Berserker, but everyone probably had an Andre from that point in time.
Right.
And how Andre is demanding more money than the Berserker. It's like, you know, just based on rarity, like, you would think that Andre would be amply out there for everybody. And, you know, even the same with the LJN lines, your Hogans, your Machos, I guess there is more demand because everyone looking back on it is like, oh yeah, these guys are the ones that I had. But at the same time, it's like, there's way more of these out there. There's way more of these were purchased during their actual time being in retail stores than some of the lesser known people.
So when you do LJNs, because on your site you have carded prices and loose, how do you determine the loose, like, quality? Is, are you talking about like a couple specs, a couple?
It's tough. It's very tough. When looking through that, I call it a displayable type quality in my head, where a lot of, you know, the face cannot be extremely messed up, but then also major paint loss. It's more so like, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, maybe a wear on an elbow pad. Okay, it's going to display very well. But when you see those, like, massive marks from just average play from 30 years ago, it's like, yeah, most of the paint's off of his back, or, you know, fingers are missing or whatnot. LJNs are a lot tougher than Hasbro's, I could tell you that much.
I could imagine. What made you want to go back and start collecting Hasbro's? Were you just not interested in the current product, or were you getting stale on it and you wanted to go back and relive the childhood?
What started me going back to the Hasbro's was when they released the retro line, when Mattel released the retro line. Where it was just kind of like, you know, it just sparked that nostalgia in my head of like, man, these figures are so cool, and it reminds me of the stuff that I had when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So then it's like, you know what, this is something attainable. Let's see if I can get the collection.
And you also have the retros also on your website too, for carded and loose. The Roman Reigns, I know, is probably the highest, to say the
least. Yes, he is.
How much is that one up to now?
Roman Reigns, I have him at, let's see, $95 on card, $61 loose.
That is insane to me, because I saw him all the time on the pegs out here. I'm not Captain Hindsight, so I can't, you know, forecast anything, but I would have picked up every single Roman Reigns I would have saw.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then, you know, if you had those ones with the Superman punch listed as his move, it'd be even more than that.
So you came to us, and Scott and I definitely do thank you. You came to us and you said you wanted to put up a carded Bushwhackers.
Yes. Yes.
First off, before we announce the winner, Scott and I sincerely thank you for doing this. It, you know, Justin Picker did it. Good Brother Mike did it. And we've got the Summer of Love, as Scott and I are calling it, is going to continue. And you're donating too with the Carter Bushwhackers. We sincerely over here want to thank you for doing that.
Well, I want to thank you guys for everything that you do for the wrestling figure collecting community. I think everything that you guys have done, from just what you talk about on your show to back to the community, everything is fantastic. And this was the least that I could do, is offering up one of my mock Hasbros.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you very much. That we do it because we love this. We do it because we love this community. You know, we love seeing everybody kind of gather around and make this thing grow. That's what we want, is like, we all have the same passion for wrestling figures. You know, let's grow this thing. Let's make it bigger. You know, you adding wrestling toy tracker, that's just another piece to the puzzle. You know, the more people that come along, we love this. We just want to see this grow, and it's because of our passion. Scott and I have had this passion for 35 years. It's one of those things that we just have never stopped. We have never stopped collecting, and you know, we've gone from the LJNs to the Hasbros to Jacks to OSFTMs, you know, and everything in between. And so we absolutely do love this. We thank you over here for those kind words. You do have a winner for the Bushwhackers giveaway.
Yes. So Scott ran the tweet draw earlier today, and the winner of the Mock Bushwhackers Hasbro is Matt at MV536675.
Congratulations, Matt. You are getting, like Scott and I said, some underrated Hasbros. If you go and look at those are extremely underrated figures, those Bushwhackers. It's funny, Scott and I have a box of our Hasbros, and they're just sitting in this huge U-Haul box. And when you actually take out the Bushwhackers and you look at them, you go, man, these are underrated. These are really, really good.
Well, I think you guys brought up the point on your last podcast. They are underrated, but they were peg warmers, and everyone's seen them just sitting on the shelves. So I think it kind of takes away from it in people's minds, being like, ah, those were the common ones. Everyone has them. But they are very exceptional figures.
They really are. I love those figures. And as I said, they're very underrated. Ryan, I do have a surprise question for you.
Bring it.
What are your top five favorite LJN Hasbro retros? Now, you can mix and match, so you could just do five, or if you want to split them out into top five LJNs, top five Hasbros, top five retros, whatever's easiest for you.
Okay, so let's see here. An odd pick for me in the LJN line is the one that stands out in my head and the one that I like the most. The Hercules Hernandez. And that's just because that was the first figure that I had as a child. So, like, it just holds that little specialness in me.
Understand.
You know, Hercules was it. Mm-hmm. Hercules was always beating on Hulk Hogan back in the day in my little figure fed. Outside of that, I lean very hard on my Hasbro collection. That, uh-huh. I mean, that is my wheelhouse.
Uh-huh.
And as far as my other, or the figures that I enjoy the most from the Hasbro line, I would have to say it would be the British Bulldog, Papa Shango, Texas Tornado,
mm-hmm.
the first Million Dollar Man, and the White Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, okay. Those are some home run figures, I should say. Those are epic. That's all I could say, is just those figures were so epic. I mean, made up for the Rick Rude, in my opinion. And some people don't like the Rick Rude, and that's fine, you know.
I think a lot of people just don't like that figure action from Hasbro. Your Ric Flair 1-2-3 Kid and Rick Rude, it's kind of, nah.
Yeah. Those seem to be a lot of misses on those. But I actually liked the Posed-It, I didn't mind. I didn't really play with the Hasbros. I was more of the LJNs. I kind of liked using the imagination. But I didn't mind it. I thought the Hasbro Rick Rude made up for the LJN Rick Rude.
Yeah, I mean, the LJN Rick Rude, what could you really do with that? He's standing straight up. His arms aren't out. You're just like, it's a statue, basically.
Right. Shoulder tackles and splashes all day, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, the excellent choices right there. And the Hercules, was he your champion?
Of course. Of course. It was weird. As a kid, I was always more for the heel side of things anyways.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I'm 5-year-old me is cheering on Ted DiBiase and Papa Shango and all the heels. I was never big on Hogan. Never big on Hogan. So whenever anyone was able to lay a whooping on him, I was all for him. And yeah, it was just weird to gravitate towards the heels rather than the faces.
So do you ever go back and watch the old WCW shows, NWA shows, where people are rooting for the horsemen and you're like, man, back in the 80s, you're not supposed to root for the heels.
Yeah. You know, I had a great new appreciation for the horsemen as I grew up older, like in my like teenage years, looking back on, because I wasn't really exposed to WCW back in the day.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'd casually watch WCW, and that was, you know, Sting was the whole deal for me when it came to WCW.
Mm-hmm.
But now looking back on it, it's like, man, Ric Flair and the Horsemen, it doesn't get any better than that.
I know. Looking back, you wanted Nikita and Dusty and all them to just beat up the Horsemen. But then at the same time, you're like, but these Horsemen are really cool, you know?
Yeah.
Before we wrap everything up, again, we do want to thank you for putting this website together. I know Scott reached out to you a few months back, I think about 6 or 7 months back, about this, and we can't promote this enough because it's such a great tool for any collector that's going onto eBay or even a person selling, you know, just kind of getting a general idea of what the figure should be going for. So honestly, from us over here, thank you for putting this on, and thank you for donating the Bushwhackers. Congrats to Matt.
Hey, thank you guys, because you guys were the first ones that jumped onto this when the Twitter account was launched, when the website started. I think Scott reached out to me within like a few hours of the site being live. And then from there, it was just off to the races, and it's been great ever since. So I can't thank you guys enough for helping promote this website and talking about this website and informing the wrestling figure community that something out there exists to help them in their purchases.
Any chance Gloobs will go up?
Gloobs may be coming next. I don't know what I'm going to extend to next. Gloobs does seem like a good idea.
Okay.
It's either that or OSFTMs.
Okay. But
I don't know. Gloobs seem to be the next reasonable choice to be added to the site.
You'll be shocked by Big Josh with axe handle.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Yeah. It's got to have the axe handle, though.
You know what? That was one thing when you were talking about what surprises in the pricing with the figures, mm-hmm. the accessories. It is absolutely ridiculous. Like, you know, the demolition masks or the LJN Bossman nightstick.
Mm-hmm.
Or Lex Luger's chain from the Gloob line.
With the accessories, a lot of parents, a lot of kids somehow lost them over time because they're so small that people do lose them. It does happen. They get lost in boxes. They get thrown away by accident. Whatever it may be, accessories do get lost. And so that's why they become so valuable. Like Bossman's nightstick for the LJN. Oh my God. That thing is worth buku bucks, you know?
Yeah. It is.
The accessories just make a huge, huge deal.
Yeah. The Big Josh axe is probably the highest point of that.
To say the least. Why don't you go ahead and get your plugs in one more time?
All right. Well, we are Wrestling Toy Tracker, so WrestlingToyTracker.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @toy_tracker. Or on Instagram, we're at @wrestling_toy_tracker.
Awesome, awesome website. We love it over here, and we're going to continue to promote you from here on out and get more eyes onto the site. So, Matt, congratulations on winning the Bushwhackers. Ryan, thank you for your time tonight. Anything else?
That's it. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk on the podcast.
No problem. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ryan, for offering up the carded Bushwhacker Hasbros. That means a lot, man. It was fun talking to him. It was funny. After we got done recording, we talked for like another hour and a half, which normally happens. But it was so much fun talking to him, dude. And he was very insightful on how much he, like what he views as valuable figures, you know, talked about, you know, figures that were graded, you know, if they add value, don't add value, just stuff like that. Ryan is such a knowledgeable guy regarding wrestling figures.
Did you happen to talk to him about that white shirt Hogan that we saw at the toy show a month ago?
We kind of talked about it. I told him that I used his site, and he goes, that's good, man. He goes, that's what it's there for. He goes, it's actually there to help sellers sell their figures and kind of get a rough estimate of what they're going for, and also collectors to kind of see what theirs is going for. And that's basically what the site is for.
Nice. And again, it's all about the Fig Life helping each other, and that's another method of it. Ryan, thank you for donating to the Summer of Saying Dude Love giveaway. It's just continuing. Is that going to stick?
I think that just won it, dude.
Excellent. Excellent. I love it. No, seriously, no, that's great of Ryan to contribute. There's people lining up behind him. We've still got more giveaways coming. Jeff's got another one to announce here shortly, but those carded Bushwhackers are a great get. Congrats to Matt, the winner. And Ryan, thank you again for donating, and thank you for being a friend of the show. Thank you for allowing us to promote your great site that really helps out the LJN and Hasbro collectors, both loose and carded.
Well, that's what I was telling him, is like, he was talking about the community, and I said, you know what's great? I said, is your website is just another piece of the puzzle to the community. You know, we have the voice. The community kind of rallied around us. You have the website. It's just another piece of the puzzle. The Doing the Favor guys, they're another piece of the puzzle. The Casacho, everybody's just a big piece of the puzzle to this community, dude.
And don't forget about the Fig Hunter, good brother Mike out there.
Oh, absolutely. He's another piece of the puzzle. It's the community creating all of this. Nobody is bigger than each other. I'm not bigger than good brother Mike. Good brother Mike isn't bigger than Brandon. It's just everybody is on the same level, always here to help each other in this community. And that's what I love about it. And Ryan's Wrestling Toy Tracker is just another piece to the puzzle.
Yeah, I mean, we pretty much cover all the bases. You want an entertaining podcast? There's us. There's Doing the Favor. There's Casacho. There's Positively Pro Wrestling. You need somebody to find figures? Good brother Mike's out there. Rad Chad's out there. Amongst many that are out there helping people find figures at cost plus shipping, not jacked up prices on eBay. If you need retro figures like the Hasbros or the LJNs, Ryan at Toy Tracker has you covered. So there's no worries. You're at a toy show, you're looking for some Hasbros or some LJNs, you jump onto his website, you get a carded price, you get a loose price, then you can determine if the offer is fair or not. So again, we're covering all the bases, and the best part is, it's all free.
Exactly. There is no added cost.
Nope. Totally free. Just jump on in. The water's great.
Is it great because we've all peed in it?
Well, you know, nobody's taking pH levels in the water, but it's comfy.
Scott, Figure Friday. I actually pulled two. First one comes in from Slammed on the Mat at Matt S4400. And what he did is he recreated WrestleMania 8. And he took Savage and Flair, and he was recreating the photos, like where Flair went over the top rope, where Savage, I think Savage clotheslined him over the top rope. And Flair was upside down, literally going over the top rope. He actually recreated that in his photography.
I love it.
I do too. He recreated where Flair was begging Savage off, you know, vintage Flair, and Earl Hebner's in the back, and he recreated that. And I loved it because the pictures captured those scenes of WrestleMania 8.
Yeah, which, I mean, by all measures, was not a fantastic WrestleMania, but that match certainly is one of the highlights. Obviously, Ultimate Warrior coming back during the Sid and Hogan match, that was a true highlight. But really, I was blown away when Macho Man won that match. I remember thinking that was going to be a walk away for Flair, and at some point he was going to feud with Hogan. And when Macho Man won, I was like, whoa, that's awesome. Loved Macho Man, but was just blown away by the finish on that one. But really, it doesn't fall into my top 10 for all-time WrestleMania matches, but it's definitely in the top 20. And I think in terms of match quality and storyline leading into the match, it's definitely up there in all-time WrestleMania matches.
And the other Figure Friday comes in from at Real Hector Can. I kind of asked a question, what was the first figure that made you fall in love with wrestling figures? And Hector replied, at 9 years old, he stole the Hasbro Rick Rude from Target. He says, I became a bigger Rick Rude fan after this, after he was my only WWF figure for a few months, even helped shape a few of my future wrestling characters. And it kind of has a picture of him posing like Rick Rude. So I thought that was kind of good also, how he took a Rick Rude figure and kind of shaped him for his character later on in life.
Well, you have to question history, right? What if it had been the Rick Rude LJN? He would have loathed wrestling forever.
He would be like that Orange Cassidy guy where his hands are kind of in his pockets and in his tights.
Maybe that's Orange Cassidy's favorite wrestling figure of all time. Same pose. You could pretty much kick a guy in the shin with them. That's about it.
Oh, man. I think Orange Cassidy is hilarious over here. I love comedy and wrestling, dude. I do. He's killing the business, though, Scott. How can he do this?
Don't tell Cornette.
Oh, boy. Scott, did you do any toy spotting?
You know what? I didn't do any toy spotting. I'm guilty. We had a very hectic week, a hectic weekend. I'm not going to get into it. But to put it mildly, there were not funds or time for toy spotting, unfortunately. It didn't stop me from looking online at a couple of deals. Probably going to jump on something within the next couple weeks. But really, the Macho Man wallet heat was real from last week. So just kind of took a break on it. And like I said, just shortage of time. Just really did not have the funds or the time to do it.
Understandable. I did do toy spotting, and it came via Amazon and Figures Toy Company. I'll start off with Figures Toy Company. I purchased the Raymond Rowe figure because I wanted to complete my War Machine experience, Raiders, you know, figures.
Viking Ride?
Yeah, Viking Ride. That's a better name than what they had going on at first. What was it, Viking Experience?
They should have just stuck with War Raiders. Why change it? It was perfect.
But I got Ray Rowe. Ray Rowe.
Ray Rowe.
Ray Rowe. So I got Rowe. And dude, we talked about the tattoos on the Ricochet figure coming out.
Yes.
The tattoos on Rowe looks fantastic. That blew me away. I did not, because I thought it was going to just be darkened, like just line work type deal. Dude, they were in color. I was like, whoa, 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 what? I was more than impressed.
Yeah, that's one of FTC's strong suits, is the attention to detail. So kudos to them for that figure. It's awesome.
Also got the Taya figure. You were right when you made the comment that the jacket was in a cover. That little nitpick I had regarding the neck.
Yes.
The jacket does cover it. Dude, it's a beautiful figure. The robe, the boots. The face is good. It's just missing something. But overall, the robe and the boots kind of make up for it in the outfit.
Yeah, it's a very colorful figure. I really like how it pops. It really catches your eye.
Well, I can't wait to get that signed.
And Impact or Mundo, whatever he goes by these days, he tends to come around quite often, a couple times a year. So I'm sure Taya will be with him.
And Scott, Stockton Con's coming up.
Stockton Con is. They just announced that Nash and Hall, along with Vicky and Chavo Guerrero, are going to be joining Kurt Angle at the beginning of August at Stockton Con. So if you're in the Central Valley area or Bay Area or any surrounding areas, in August, first weekend of August, Stockton Con, you got to be there, man. That's a great lineup for them. They had Sting last year, and they have another strong lineup of wrestlers this year. And I'm telling you, pre-order your autographed tickets. Do not wait. If I hadn't pre-ordered my Sting ticket last year, I would have been in line for about an hour and a half. So it definitely pays to get your autographed tickets early or your photo op, whatever way you want to go. Just get them in advance, folks. There's a separate line for it. It's almost like a Disneyland Fast Pass.
So who are you getting autographs for?
Pretty much everybody except for Chavo.
Same.
And it's only because I really don't have a Chavo figure, but I've got a Vicky Basic. I'm thinking about getting the Hall and Nash Classic Superstars 2-pack signed. I'm going to go pick one of those up. And I haven't decided which angle I'm going to get signed yet. If I'm going to go his entrance grate, or if I'm just going to pick up his most recent Elite. But pretty much everybody but Chavo, I'm getting signed.
I was thinking about getting the entrance grate angle signed.
That one's so cool.
And then the Hall and Nash Jax Classic that Steve from the PPW podcast picked up for me.
Excellent. Yeah, that's a great call, dude. I can imagine how good the paint's going to look on that thing. My only concern is that Scott Hall, in the few appearances that he's done here in the Bay Area and surrounding areas, he's canceled. At least two times I can remember he's canceled. And I believe Stockton Con a few years ago was one of those. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that he doesn't cancel this year.
I can't wait for it because I don't have an A's game planned that day. So I'm going to get to spend a little bit more time and not rush through the stadium or the arena, I should say.
Yes, nice. You won't have to run like crazy through there to make it to the A's game. That's awesome.
Right.
You could have gotten that Sting Toy Biz set signed last year.
I know. Too soon, Scott. Too soon.
Too soon. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's still a kick in the gut. Thanks, dude.
But again, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but I can't stress enough, if you're going to go to Stockton Con, get your autograph tickets in advance. There's a separate line. It will fast pass you right through. You won't have to wait the hour and a half in line for people that didn't get their tickets in advance. Don't be one of them.
Do you ever think about where that came from, beat a dead horse, that statement?
Well, I would imagine it's people that like were trying to get their horses like to walk more, but the horse was already dead on the ground.
It's just
way to take it in a morbid direction, Jeff. Way to go.
I'm just thinking about that statement. Like, it's random. Sorry. I just started thinking about that particular statement. It's just, who would beat a dead horse? That's mean.
Well, you know, people going cross country way back in the day, you know, like shortly before I was born, way, way back in the day, you know, they have their horse in their carriage and the horse gets tired and he lays down and he dies. And the guy's beating him like, hey, get up. We got to get to the other side of the country. But the horse is dead. I'm imagining that's where the term came from.
Oh, you mean Oregon Trail shit?
Yes, exactly. You've died of dysentery.
Oh, all right. We just went off on a weird little direction. Scott, we do have a little bit of news. What do you say we jump into it?
Let's talk about it.
You didn't know?
So, Scott, after beating the dead horse, one more thing I do want to add. Michael from Eagle Moss Hero Collector is donating to the Summer of Saying Dude Love contest giveaway.
That's rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Oh, no, it doesn't. he is going to be donating the first three Eagle Moss WWE subscriptions. That is our next giveaway for next week. So it's going to be like, retweet, follow Fully Opposable, follow Eagle Moss Hero Collector, and that's it. And you're entered. That's how simple it is. Just like Goose 1977 won his FTC figures, and that's how Matt at MV536675 won his carded Hasbro. So that's all you have to do is just enter the contest. That's all. And one more caveat, you guys must listen to the show and reach out to us. You guys have about, what do you want to say, 7 days, Scott?
Yeah, we'll give you guys a week. So you've got to listen to claim your prize.
Thank you, Michael, over at Hero Collector. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Justin Pickard. Thank you, good brother Mike. It's like a miniature roll call, dude.
It almost is. By the time we're done with this giveaway trend, man, we're going to have a lot of names to thank. But I've got to say, this giveaway from Michael for the Eagle Moss Hero Collector figures, I love it. You guys got to get involved with this one. I put pictures up on Twitter last night of all of the figures boxed up, of the six that I've received so far. Just the overall packaging on these things is so great. If you haven't seen it yet, go jump on my Twitter at feedme_TacoBell. I've got the pictures up. Jeff, I believe you retweeted it as well.
Yep.
But just the all around packaging on these, the front where it's got the statue, the back where it's got the magazine, but all of the color around the side and the top of the box, the wrestler's logos on the top. I love it. Everything about these, it makes it hard to open. Like, I'm a mint on card guy for regular figures. But the way these things are boxed up, they almost look like elite statues. And I love them. And again, if you guys are going to get involved, go give them a follow at @HeroCollector_. Check them out on Twitter. They've got pictures up of all the statues that they offer. They've got a picture up of the ring that you get if you subscribe. Definitely go give them a follow. It is not an expensive hobby to jump into.
And I'm going to be taking pictures of them because I'm now doing figure photography, Scott.
Ooh, with a capital P and a capital H and a capital O.
Yeah, I got a light box, so now I'm all in. I am not even close to people like V-Trigger Figs or Ring Skirts or Ralphie Vibes. I'm not even close to any of those guys, but it's fun, dude. It's kind of fun getting into this figure photography, dude.
And you know what? Those guys are so cool. I'm sure if you hit them up, they'd give you tips.
Yes, actually, a few people have already given me tips to do Photoshop. I've never even used Photoshop, but the app is so easy. It's called Photoshop Express. And I apologize to the person that recommended it to me, but I started messing with it. Dude, it makes a world of difference in the photographies. Scott, pictures and video sprung up of the prototype WWE Ghostbuster mashup. It came in from Sean Ng. Sean Ng is KWK Kayfabe Wrestling Collector with a K. He got the prototype glow-in-the-dark Undertaker, and the Ghostbusters WWE mashup. Now, a little bit more regarding him. Austin, he has a soft, good jumpsuit with proton pack. They all have proton packs. Cena has the short sleeves, Rock sleeveless, because it's rock. Why not?
Sun's out, guns out.
And Shawn Michaels also has the proton pack, and Undertaker has the translucent purple body and hat and comes with a world title. Scott, one more thing to add regarding this. I did put up a poll, and in 24 hours, we had 278 votes. Simple question to the people. Are you getting the Ghostbuster figures? 29% said yes, they are getting all of them. 12% said only getting a couple. 49% not getting any of them. And 10% said they are only getting Undertaker. I was actually pretty floored by the 49% not getting any of them.
That's insane. Almost half aren't even into this mashup remotely.
I was on board. I'm still on board. I love these things. As I said on the show a couple weeks back, I love mashups. Keep throwing mashups at me. I'll keep buying them. I mean, unless they're like something ridiculous that I don't want, but...
You know, like zombies and wrestling?
Right.
Not for us.
Yeah, we've beaten that dead horse, right, Scott? But keep giving me these mashups of old school stuff like WWE and Ghostbusters, WWE and Ninja Turtles. I love it. Keep throwing them my way because I'm going to keep buying.
I was on the fence on these things. I thought that they were cool, but I wanted to play the wait and see game with them. But now that I know that they're going to have, like you mentioned, the soft goods outfits, like it's going to be cloth outfits on them, I'm even more on board with this now. Like it was a wait and see approach. Now I'm hook, line, and sinker on this. I think I'm going to get all of them, dude. I'm a big fan of these. I think that they are very cool. Like you, Jeff, also a fan of the mashup idea. The more you throw my way, the more intriguing it is to me. And when you can deliver like this, I think that this set is outstanding. This is a must own, especially because they're also in elite form.
Now, here's the thing with the 49% not getting any of them. Are you just going to hold off until they hit the discount bins or they start showing up at Big Lots or Marshalls or whatever it may be?
No, because when they show up around here, I'm not willing to play the waiting game. We've talked about distribution. As soon as I see them, I'm picking them up. I'm not going to chance that once they disappear, there's no more stock coming in, or Big Lots or Ross or Marshalls won't get them. I'm not playing the waiting game at all. Anything that new that shows up in my area, it's getting got.
So the 49% didn't scare you at all? That like, okay, these things are going to be plentiful?
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all. I mean, we're in a different area here from a lot of people on the East Coast. We don't get the same figures in, so it's... Over here, when you see them, you've got to buy them. It is shocking, that number of 50% not buying them. I thought that there were a lot more Ghostbusters fans out there. I guess not. So we'll have to wait and see what the receptions to these are going to be when they actually start hitting the pegs. But just from my view of these figures, absolutely outstanding. Mattel nailed the mashup. And the soft good outfits, the cloth outfits, huge fan of those. And that, to me, puts it up over the top.
Yeah, and all of, as I said, all of them do have proton packs.
They're packing protein, too.
They've got protein bars in their proton packs. Try saying that 10 times fast.
It's almost like the summer of saying dude love giveaway.
Scott, per Action Figure Attack, a.k.a. Steve Ozer, he confirmed that the Epic Moments with Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt has been pulled. Your thoughts?
If only there was a place, Jeff, that could house these types of things that retailers don't want, but the collecting community does. If only there was a magical place that existed that we could go get the ultimate deletion set. What could that place be?
Well, from what has been said, it sounds like that retailers didn't want the Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. Didn't sound like there was a place for it, so...
Well, it's old news, right? That's kind of the eight ball that Mattel put themselves behind with this one. It happened, what, over a year ago, right?
Yeah.
Well over a year ago, the ultimate deletion. And here we are in June the following year, about to release the set. I don't know. I think maybe the retailers made the right call on this one, because I could see that warming the shelves.
Toys R Us being closed, I think, also hurt that set.
Absolutely, 100%. You know, Toys R Us being gone has really hurt a lot of things. It's been mentioned that that's hurting the release of the Elite Scale stage, or them even wanting to do it because of floor space. But I think, honestly, with this set, it's very, very cool. I love it. I think it's about, I know they couldn't get it out right when it happened, but it's probably about 6 or 7 months, maybe even 9 to 10 months, just past its prime. I can't see anybody racing out to buy this aside from the hardcore collectors. Kids are going to see it and be like, ah, that already happened. You know, plus it's probably going to have a $30 to $40 price tag on it. I don't know, man. That's kind of a tall order for retailers, and it is going to eat up some shelf space, so maybe they made the right call. It's going to find a home somewhere eventually, but I think that retail made the right call. Cool set, but not in mid-2019.
Speaking of Toys R Us, it's confirmed that they're coming back, right?
Yeah. Yeah, much like the zombies from the WWE line, making a huge comeback.
Who knows? This is going to open up a lot of avenues for Mattel. And this is going to help the toy business kind of right the ship. Because as everybody has said, the toy business, or like that guy said from Bratz LOL Dolls, the toy business was down 11%.
Yeah.
And forecasting by the end of the year to be down by 15%. But if Toys R Us comes back, which it's sounding like it's almost a full go, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to happen. Toys R Us is coming back. It makes you question why it had to go away in the first place when, like, 2 years later it's going to be back. But hey, better late than never. We're getting Toys R Us back. Yes, it's going to be on a smaller scale, but if it's successful, obviously there's going to be more springing up. Dude, there are still unoccupied Toys R Us buildings around.
Yep.
That still has the signage up and everything. So boom, just move right back in.
Yeah, Hayward Toys R Us, same thing.
Yep, exactly.
Also, per Action Figure Attack, so there was a little email that went out that was basically saying that Entertainment Earth was going to be receiving leftovers from San Diego Comic-Con Macho Man in Slim Jim packaging. That is not true. Steve Ozer confirmed that Entertainment Earth will have their own separate stock of Macho Man Slim Jim, so don't worry. Everything's good to go. Pre-orders, as we know, will be filled.
Man, it was almost like a huge siren went off on Twitter the other night. I forget who it was that shared that email from EE. And all of a sudden, man, people were losing their minds. And rightfully so. Here we thought that a pre-order, somebody made the equation to the Jerry Seinfeld bit where he talks about a reservation.
Right.
It was the perfect analogy. It was just perfect. But alas, false alarm. According to Steve Ozer, Entertainment Earth has their own supply coming in. So if you pre-ordered, you will get your Macho Man, or Jeff, in our case, Macho Men.
Scott, I brought up Taya and we were talking about Johnny Impact, Johnny Morrison, John Nitro. There was a little bit more that came out this week regarding Taya and Johnny Impact. You found this, so I'm going to let you go into it.
Yeah, dude, I was just kind of perusing WrestleZone like I do several times a day. I know, Mark, you can hit the button on me. I was just perusing WrestleZone, and I came across something that said Iron Sheik figure movie. And I'm like, what is this? So, of course, I clicked on the link, and here's the breakdown. We all know that Mundo and Taya recently got married. While they were on their honeymoon, and this is Johnny Mundo's quote now. On our honeymoon, Taya and I wrote a horror/comedy short called The Iron Sheik Massacre. It's about an Iron Sheik doll. Now, jury's out on which one that's going to be. I would pick the LJN. We'll have to see which route they went. It's about an Iron Sheik doll that gets struck by lightning and becomes sentient and kills a house full of disrespectful new school wrestlers because they're, I don't want to use the word, we'll use crapping on old school wrestling, including the Iron Sheik. This is another one of those projects where the idea was contained, but it's par for the course with a lot of things that I do. It's blown up into a bigger and much more time-consuming thing. I'm hoping that it's going to be done at the end of the year, maybe around Halloween. It's a really fun, bizarre, crazy thing where it probably will run around 20 minutes when it's all said and done. Dude, I cannot wait to see this. An Iron Sheik figure is going to get its 15 minutes of fame on the big screen.
Sign me up.
Sign me up. Absolutely. An Iron Sheik doll running around killing people. If it doesn't put one single person in the camel clutch, this is a failure. It has to put at least one person in the camel clutch, break their neck, and humble them.
You know what mom would say when she saw this movie? She would be like, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it.
She's already boycotting it. She's like, if it's the LJN, this is an abomination.
Put it on Netflix. Put it on WWE Network. I don't care. Put this somewhere so I can watch this.
Well, I mean, look, unless he signs a new WWE deal, it's not going on the network. But I could absolutely see like Hulu or Amazon or Netflix getting the rights to this one. I'm fully on board. I can't wait to see it. An Iron Sheik figure, humbling, disrespectful wrestling school students. Oh, what an idea. I love it.
I love how on their honeymoon, they just basically came up with this random idea and now they're starting to run with it. I love that.
How drunk were they? Dude, I would love to talk to either of them just to see, okay, how does this idea spawn?
Right.
What sparked this conversation? What were you drinking? And did you play with figures as a youngster? And what was special? If so, what was special about the Iron Sheik figure? Like, these are just the questions we need answered as wrestling figure fans.
Much agreed over here, dude. I would love to know the story behind this.
Okay, so if Johnny and Taya come around, we need to jump into their line and ask them those questions.
Yes.
We will do our best.
Get the Taya figure autographed.
Yes, a short interview and a signature. I wonder what that'll run you. What's on our menu?
I don't know.
I'm going to guess $20.
But also, I also need to have the autograph erased off the Johnny John Morrison Elite figure.
Yes, because it's in black Sharpie.
And yes, and I need that sucker paint in paint pen now.
Agree. Yep, you're right. You're right. So you're going to do it again. But you know, hey, you know the tool of the trade now.
Yep, magic eraser.
Yeah, if you guys need to get old signatures off of your figure because you're going to go use paint, use the magic eraser. It is magic. The Fully Posable Podcast, not sponsored by Magic Eraser. We just like the tools of the trade.
Scott, we haven't done this one in a while. It's who did it better. And after this segment, we are going to find out who we chose for this who did it better segment.
Is it Valentine's Day?
Scott, you mentioned you had a bang in your belly, huh?
Yes, sir. I do have a bang in the belly and charging through the system. It's like when Hulkamania runs through you, but this is like Bangamania. It's the lemon drop sweet tea, which I am a big, big fan of.
You like that one, huh?
Oh, I think that's what it's called. Lemon drop sweet tea or lemon sweet tea, something like that. But yeah, it's quickly becoming my favorite flavor. And unfortunately, here in Tracy, only one liquor store carries it that I've seen so far, and I've looked at a few. I can't find the Froze Rosé anymore, and I can only find that lemonade sweet tea one at this particular liquor store, which works out perfect because it's right on the way to work. So usually after lunch on podcast day, swing by there, pay my $2.75, and then by the time we start recording, dude, I got Bangamania running through my veins. And we're not even sponsored by them. I just love their drink.
This week, I tried a new one that I found at the liquor store, at the grocery store, because I knew last week I tried, which one did I had a bang last week, I think. But I was going to try a different one this week, and I tried a Xience, X-Y-I-E-N-C-E Energy.
And?
It's not bad. It's a cherry lime flavor that I drank tonight.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It's kind of like Sprite cherry lime, almost like, or a 7-Up cherry lime.
Have you ever had the cherry limeade at Sonic?
No, is it good?
Oh, it's outstanding. I'm just wondering if it's on par with that, but if you haven't had it, you don't have a comparison.
No, I don't.
Okay.
It's got 166 milligrams of caffeine.
That's all?
Yeah, I know, where Bang has 300.
Come on, this is America.
It's okay. I know you and I have been both binge-watching Barstool Pizza reviews, so if you want to give it a rating on your bang, Scott, what would you like to give it?
One bite, everybody knows the rules.
One sip, everybody knows the rules.
So are you asking on my bang-o-meter what I'd give the lemon drop sweet tea?
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay. So I've tried, I don't want to say I've tried every flavor of Bang, but I've tried a lot of different flavors of Bang. Right now, because carbonation, it's cool. I like carbonation, but this one doesn't have much carbonation at all in it, so I can drink it pretty quick. Based on that alone, that one and the peach mango, okay, I think are my, and Sour Heads is up there, but the carbonation. I'm going to go peach mango and the lemon drop sweet tea. I think that's what it's called. Is that Kiss? that goes back to the pizza review. Sorry. Those are my two favorites, and I'm going to put the lemonade sweet tea ahead of it. Oh, it's lemonade sweet tea. That's what it is. Not lemon drop sweet tea. Lemonade sweet tea. That one is going to get a 9.6.
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah, it's that good. I'm going to give the peach mango a 9.1.
So this cherry lime Xience, it's pretty good. It's got a good flavor to it. I apologize. I said 166 milligrams of caffeine. It has 176 in a full can. Apparently, I don't know how to do math right now. So I'm going to give it, I'll give it a 7.4. It's got an okay pick-me-up.
No crash?
No, not too bad.
Okay. Well, not too bad. That means there's some.
There is a little, but also this is the end of the fiscal year for our biggest distributor. So we have been run rampant at work. Like,
gotcha.
Just ran through the mud.
So it could be work exhaustion as well.
Exactly. So it's maybe I'm not giving it a fair score, but I did feel a little bit of a crash, but I think it's also just mentally exhausted from work. So
gotcha.
I got to kind of give it a little bit of an edge on that one. So I'll give it like a 7.4. So that's my final review.
Excellent. One drink. Everybody knows the rules.
Scott, we are doing Who Did It Better after our energy drink segment.
Hey, you know, everybody has a job, right? We all work. It sucks. And you get tired. And sometimes you need to pick me up. So if we can give you a suggestion of an energy drink, if you're into that sort of thing.
Scott, we are doing Who Did It Better. And this week, I will have you go into who we chose.
So this week, we chose somebody who actually, when you're going back and counting up their figures, really doesn't have a lot of figures, but is a legend in the WWF. And Jeff, that person, if you didn't get it from my little spoiler at the end of the last segment, is Greg the Hammer Valentine. Multiple time Intercontinental Champion, tag team champion, never held the heavyweight title, but he's a legend in WWF. And when we start going through his figures, you're going to quickly realize, man, this guy's really been underutilized in the world of wrestling figures. So Jeff, let's get into the assortment of Greg the Hammer Valentine wrestling figures. First up, obviously, LJN. And he was also packaged with Brutus Beefcake in a tag team set. Same figure, no variation. Next up, he had his Hasbro, which was from his singles run. Then there was the unreleased Greg the Hammer Valentine Rhythm and Blues that we all know about. Hasbro also released Greg the Hammer Valentine in a mini scale that was part of their miniature line. He was packaged with Brutus the Barber Beefcake and the Bushwhackers on a 4-pack card. Next up, he was in the Jax Classic Superstar Series as a singles wrestler. That would have been from his early to mid-80s singles run before he got tag teamed up with Brutus the Barber. They also released him as part of a tag team set in a 3-pack with Jimmy Hart and the Honky Tonk Man, aka Rhythm and Blues. And last but not least, he was released by FTC, Figures Toy Company, in their Legends of Pro Wrestling line. And this would have also been from his singles run. And he was released with and without blood. So there were two variations of him. And surprisingly, Mattel has had the WWE license since 2010. And not one Greg the Hammer Valentine figure has been produced or released by them, which is, given his status in the history of WWF, crazy. Amazing that they have never done a Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Something must be up that he hasn't signed that Legends deal or what it is, because one question that always gets thrown at Steve Ozer is, when are we going to get a Jeff Jarrett? When are we going to get another Rick Martel? When are we going to get the Greg Valentine? Greg Valentine always seems to be lumped into those questions. So he doesn't have the Legends contract. That's got to be it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. If he was signed, they would have made a figure of him. I mean, the license is almost 10 years old now. He would absolutely have a figure if he had the Legends deal signed.
Also, I want to go back to the beginning. You said he was a legend. He was also a legend in the NWA with that dog collar match against Roddy Piper.
Yes, he was. How cool of a 2-pack would that make?
Oh, with the dog collar?
Yes. We remember Pollyanna DIY made the pins of Valentine and Piper with the chain connecting them. Imagine how cool a figure set of those two would be. It's almost seeming like there's a place that would be able to sell that 2-pack. Target doesn't want it.
So, Scott, question that I must ask you, who did it better?
Well, look, right off the bat, we've talked about guys that have not had a bad figure or have had very few bad figures. I don't think Valentine has one. All of the Valentines are outstanding. His LJN, spot on. Even Greg the Hammer Valentine himself raves about how good that LJN figure is. The Hasbro is perfect. I wish they would have released that Rhythm and Blues Greg Valentine, or at least had the decency to tell us back in the early 90s, Jeff, that he was never going to come out. So I wouldn't have spent a year and a half to 2 years looking for him at Toys R Us every time I went. The Jax Classic Superstars is perfect, be it the single or the one in the 3-pack. The FTC one is really good. But if gun to head, I had to pick one, I'm going to go the Jax Classic Superstars. That one is my favorite. It represents Greg. You could actually sub him in for his singles run and part of his tag team run with Brutus the Barber. I like the way that Jax captured his face. I think it's an outstanding figure, and that is my favorite Greg Valentine figure.
You know what? Out of the ones that you just named off, it was tough to go through which one was my favorite because my initial thought was LJN because I love the pose. He was easy to play with, easy to do body slams, easy to do lariats.
And it was a good sculpt. You knew it was him.
Yeah, exactly. The only nitpick I had about it was that he didn't have knee pads. That
and
bothered
me. He was a little bit taller than he should have been.
Yeah. His upper torso was kind of, I guess you could say, lengthy when he was kind of stocky.
Yes, exactly.
But when you look at the Hasbro is really good.
It just has a sheen, doesn't it?
That Hasbro sheen we always talk about.
That Hasbro sheen, if I could only bottle that and spray myself with it. Oh, every day. Walk out of the house just Hasbro fresh.
It's a new Axe body spray stuff, dude.
Yeah, Axe body spray. What's the scent? It's Hasbro. Bro.
But I have to agree with you. The Jax Classic is terrific. I love the robe. They captured his face sculpt, like you said, Scott. Like every part of me wanted to say, oh, it's the LJN because of how much I use that figure because he was so easy to use with all the moves you know to do.
Elbow drop, you could do his figure four, body slam, clothesline.
Yep.
Yeah, so much you could do with him. And plus you had a full conversation with him about how cool that figure is.
Yeah, and he loved the figure. That's his favorite figure.
Right.
And this doesn't knock the Hasbro. The Hasbro was just fantastic as well. But you're right, Scott. The Jax Classic, being in that Jax Classic packaging with that robe, with that face sculpt, you won me over. I think that's fantastic. I have to agree with you. That's my favorite as well.
Jax Classic Superstars had so many great guys in their assortment that when you go back and look at it, it's one you tend to overlook. Right, because there's so many big names that are in there, and those are the ones you're looking at first as you're going series by series. But stop and pause and look at that Valentine. The cloth robe, they got the body style perfect, but the face scan or the face sculpt that they put on this is outstanding. And I was actually going to say the Hasbro when I went back and revisited these Greg figures, but then I looked at that Jax Classic Superstars. I took a harder look at it, and man, I have underappreciated that one for a long time, and I'm happy I went back and looked at it again. I have a new appreciation for that one. It's outstanding. It is a perfect Greg Valentine figure, and I'm adding him to the list of guys that really haven't had a bad action figure yet.
One thing I do want to point out about the Hasbro, he had that like shin guard type thing.
Thank you. He did.
He had the yellow boots, but he had that little baseball shin guard thing, yep. And it was supposed to add more impact on the figure four or something like that.
It did. He'd turn it around and he would apply more pressure with the figure four.
I loved how Hasbro threw that in. I thought that was a great, great touch.
Agree. I think it should have been an accessory with the Greg Valentine Classic Superstars, but he didn't really use that during his singles run. He incorporated it later. So it made sense that they didn't, but I love that Hasbro included it. It was a great touch.
Now, here's the tougher question. Who had the worst Greg Valentine?
Well, there's really not one, dude. I mean, again, gun to head, you have to pick one. I'm going to go FTC just because it didn't have the detail that the LJN or the Hasbro or the Jax Classic Superstars had, but it's still a good figure.
Especially the blood variant.
Oh, I love the blood variant because, boom, you immediately have an opponent for Roddy Piper in the dog collar match.
Right.
You've got a bloody Greg Valentine. So, really, I'm putting Greg on there with the guys that have not had a bad figure, with the likes of Jim the Anvil Neidhart and Honky Tonk Man. Man, Greg Valentine, great assortment of figures, but I feel like he's really been underutilized by the wrestling figure companies over the years. For him to not have a figure in 10 years that Mattel has had the license, like you said, Jeff, he needs to sign that deal and get a figure made by Mattel.
Yeah, they need to get him under a Legends deal.
Agree. I mean, we've got Morocco coming. We know that. You saw the picture, or you saw the prototype at Access. There's got to be a Valentine coming, too.
So that rounds out who did it better, Greg Valentine. Scott, we are rounding out the show with the listeners. What do you say we go talking to them?
Let's talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, first question comes in from Kyle Peterson at SirPaul64. Brought up the Entertainment Earth Kiss announcement for San Diego Comic-Con and said, what if they mashed up Kiss and WWE like they did with WWE and Ghostbusters? Mentioned his four would be Warrior, Sting, and LOD. Throw Balor as a sub for any. It's a cool idea. Scott, would you buy all four of those?
Dude, come on. If I'm already going to get the Ghostbusters set, you can bet the house and the farm that I'm absolutely buying a WWE and Kiss mashup. No doubt about it. How cool would that set be considering Kiss costumes and then the over-the-top body styles of the WWE roster? It would be amazing. Here's a twist.
A twist.
Right? Suddenly I'm M. Night Shyamalan. I hope I pronounced that right. What if you did, instead of the guy figures, like Kyle suggested, go with the female roster?
Oh.
So you do like woman Kiss. So you could do like Charlotte, Sasha, Becky, and Alexa. And Alexa's a horrible person, so she would be Peter Chris.
Why is Alexa a horrible person?
Come on. You've seen her interviews. She's mean.
Did you watch her special after Stomping Grounds?
No, and I won't. She's a horrible person. She's rude.
What?
My daughter's listening, dude. I'm kayfabing here. Come on.
Oh. I was like, dude, that made me even a bigger Alexa fan after I watched that 365.
Careful. Niece is going to come at you with both fists.
For women, I was thinking like Lita. She would fit that bill.
She would, yes.
Rhonda?
Okay, I could see that.
Shayna.
Okay, that would be a good Peter Chris right there.
Shayna Baszler. Oh, don't. I like Shayna, dude. Don't lop her in with Peter Chris.
No, she's got the same hair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that one's like ready made, dude. You don't even need to tool the hair at all. It's done.
Shayna, we are fans of yours. We're sorry for lopping you in with Peter Chris.
That's not as it was intended.
And I'm trying to think of one more. Who would be a good fit for Kiss? Women. Toni Storm.
Okay. And she's already a metalhead, so that's perfect.
Yep.
So if I had to pick guys, Seth, I'm trying to think, like, how about vintage Triple H?
Okay.
Obviously, I'm going long hair here. Van Hammer.
Hey, we've got to get Paul Stanley's chest hair in there, so George the Animal Steel.
Magnum TA.
Oh, there you go. Paul Stanley has that epic chest hair going on, like Magnum PI style.
Yes, exactly. I would say Joey Ryan, but he's not on the WWE roster. So yeah, if you're going to go chest hair, you got to go Magnum TA.
Do you have one more?
No, that's it. That's it. But you know, I do, before we jump into the next question, Kyle, thank you for that question, dude. I love it. I actually like your suggestion of the guys. You got to go face paint to match up with Kiss. I dig your selection. But before we get into the next question, JT had sent in last week, what would be the surprises of SDCC this year? Like, what were our guesses? And I think you had a great one with the inclusion of the old 80s playsets like Funeral Parlor, Piper's Pit, Barbershop Window.
Uh-huh.
You've got to think there's going to be a Hogan this year, right? I'm just thinking, dude, they're going to have the NWO Hogan. There's so many people have wanted that figure for so long. And then he got canned, and now he's back. I just have a feeling, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he ends up in Ultimate Editions line. Either as NWO Hogan, Red and Yellow Hogan, or both. And that is one series of Ultimate Edition.
I agree with you. With him showing up at Mania, it's almost a guarantee that he's good to go. I know Bill, last time we heard from him, said that it was a no-go still.
And yes.
I can't remember. I want to say that was late April, I think it was. But anyways, you've got to figure they were just kind of downplaying it, and he's a full go now.
Yeah, the figure was already done. So you've got to imagine it's going to be an easy release for them. They were just waiting on the green light. But I think it would be awesome. And yes, it's kind of mimicking Storm, what they did with their Hogans. But dude, how cool would that be if there was a red and yellow Hogan and a black and white Hogan, and that was your Ultimate Edition series? I think that would be awesome. I would buy them both.
Or what about a variant where they release Hogan in an Elite line, put him in red and yellow, and the variant is the NWO?
Oh, yeah, you could do that too. But man, how cool would it be if they were able to do like Hogan in the red and yellow, but one of his heads was bloody?
Since he did
tend to get color in the match. I know they won't do it, but how cool would that be?
Stop thinking that way, Scott.
FTC back in the day would have done it.
Thank you, Kyle, for sending in that question. Scott, next question comes in from David. He said, dude.
Is this Dave, our friend Dave?
No, not David Myers. Another David.
No, David Cowell?
No, different David.
Oh, okay, because he usually starts a conversation like that. I just thought it was him.
Good point. I was going to say, Scott, you know there are more than two Davids in the world.
Yes, but how many of them start a conversation with dude? Like, I thought he was one of us. Like, I thought it was a NorCal thing. I'm like, oh, okay, big Dave.
This David is one of us, dude. He's part of the community.
Oh, okay. I meant more of a NorCal one of us.
Okay.
Because he started off with dude. But look, if he's not NorCal, it's catching on. Spreading like wildfire, like Hulkamania.
Actually, some people said we have said dude way too much. So we're going to be like the Young Bucks. People said, hey, you throw too many super kicks. So they threw more. So we're going to say dude more.
Well, yeah. Like I said, we'll even throw a counter on it.
Yeah. We've got to get that YouTube thing going.
Yes.
So David said, dude, how sweet would a Bret Hart with Maple Leafs jersey and metal plate be? I'm just saying, look, they wouldn't be able to throw the Toronto Maple Leafs logo on it, but make a blue and white hockey jersey.
Yes.
And put the metal plate, and that is something that would crash Matty Collector. What?
I don't know if it would crash Matty Collector, but that would absolutely be in consideration for something on Matty Collector. I don't know if that would play at the big retailers, but why not make it a figure? I would say it's a pretty epic moment in wrestling history. I don't ever recall it happening before Bret did it, where somebody literally put a metal tray over their torso and waited for somebody to spear them. Like, that was pretty brilliant, and it was an epic moment. Everybody remembers it happening. So yeah, why not make a figure of it? I love it.
Wait, you don't think that would not crash Matty Collector?
I think it would sell well on Matty Collector for a number of reasons. It's the first time that that's ever been represented in figure form. And it's Bret Hart. So I don't know if it would crash it like Macho Man crashed EE, but I think it would do very well. I think that's tailor-made for Matty Collector.
That's their San Diego Comic-Con next year.
It could be.
And we will go back to David's question if that does happen.
For sure. Absolutely. We'll be like, dude, you totally called it a year in advance. Well done.
Hey, you said dude.
Darn it, I did. Sorry, dude.
Thank you, David, for sending that in. That's a great idea, man. That is a fantastic idea. Scott, next question comes in from our good friend, Michael Sugarman. Says, how do you determine if a prototype is legit? We're not prototype experts. There are a few things that you can look for. I know some other hardcore collectors look for other things. One of the things I look for is I look for the stamp on the bottom of the boot. There's a stamp down there, and for some reason I am missing my Ultimate Warrior prototype, and I was going to use that as a reference, but I forget what the stamp says. But anyways, I look for that stamp. So I would actually use that as a reference. We were actually talking about that down at Frankensons with Anthony. He had a custom Series 1 Jeff Hardy. Somebody was like, oh, I've got the Series 1 Jeff Hardy. And they show it to Anthony. He's like, okay. And he looks at the bottom of the boot and he's like, okay, you know, this isn't it. And he can tell by the stamp. And even by looking at it, you're just like, okay, this is not even close to being the prototype. So that is one way to check. Other ways, you just got to trust who you're dealing with.
That's the big key for me, Jeff.
As I said, there are a million other ways that people check. Luckily, we've been safe with the prototypes that we have purchased. So that's how I determine is quality of seller, you know, who the person is that's selling it, and also that stamp on the bottom of the boot. Scott, our next question comes in from Josh Thompson. Hey, Jeff and Scott, JT here back with that weekly question. I was talking to Nate Ring Skirts on Twitter about the Alexander Wolf chase figure I got from RSC. And I came up with this question to ask you guys. Do you think RSC should try to get these exclusive chase figure guys like Alexander Wolf? I've already preached to you guys enough about how much it sucks not finding these on the pegs. So only other thing I'll say is that I think RSC could market this as sort of a Matty collector. Tell fans ahead of time you've got a chase figure coming in. And when it's going live, two orders only per person. And when they're gone, they're gone. JT, Scott, what do you think?
Thank you for the question, JT. I've kind of got a hard time with that one. I know a lot of people enjoy the quote unquote thrill of the hunt in going to the stores and finding them. And we know the difficulties involved therein. And that's where the Fig Life has really stepped up and taken care of a lot of us. Me, specifically, all of my chases have come because the Fig Life is out hunting and I'm unable to find them here, but they're reaching out to me and I'm able to get them through the Fig Life. RSC already has exclusives that come their way, and I'm not a fan of any one online retailer holding all the cards, so to speak. I would rather see an assortment of online retailers able to get the exclusives. For example, Amazon will get a chase, Megalopolis will get a chase, Entertainment Earth will get a chase. So amongst Mattel's online retailers, spread the love. Don't throw everything in, or all of the balls, quote unquote, all of the balls into one court. Kind of let everybody have a chance. And then you're bouncing back and forth between the different sites, spreading the love. That's my take. RSC already has their exclusives coming to them. What, 3 a year, whatever it is. So spread the love. Don't put the chase figures entirely on them. I'm okay with retailers. That would be the brick and mortar stores. And then online retailers kind of spreading them out.
Amazon did have their exclusives with the Attitude Era Rock Jericho Austin figures. I don't know how well those sold, so I would think Amazon would be a little leery of carrying those, but maybe eliminate Amazon and just go for the toy online retailers, like you said, Megalopolis, Entertainment Earth. Go for those.
But the Attitude Era was a specific series, right? It was a set of figures or a series of figures. It was the Attitude Era ones. These chases would be, okay, if you come to our site, you can get the entire Elite whatever series, but you can also get the chase one here this time around. And then the next time an Elite series drops, oh, this time you go to Entertainment Earth and you could buy the entire Elite series, but you can also get this chase figure exclusively here. So it's not giving an entire series to an online retailer, but it would be giving them just the chase figure of that particular series. Kind of spread the love, you know? Don't put all the balls in one court. I don't like that. Or all of your eggs in one basket, so to speak.
So like how they're doing with Target and Amazon, how they're flip-flopping back and forth with the chase figures. So like Walmart just got Backlund and Sherry and...
Yes.
Target got Dunn and Wolf, but for Elite 69, Target's going to have Sonya Deville and Liv Morgan. Walmart, for that same series, is going to have The Rock. I still like how they alternate it. So it's kind of like that, right, Scott?
Yes, exactly like that, but it'll bounce around to every series. Look, if you want to do 4 chase figures or 3 chase figures every time around, go for it. You know, one to Megalopolis, one to Entertainment Earth, one to Amazon. Or insert your online retailer here, you know, but I would like to see them bounce it around and not just throw everything in RSC's court. You know, they already have their exclusives, so spread the love.
Chris used to tell us about how they would receive exclusives, like they had that Jeff Hardy and Bret Hart 2-pack.
Beautiful.
I know, right? But they got that 2-pack, but Jax was just throwing around the love. They were like, here you go, whatever you need, here you go. And they would spread it around with Figures Toy Company. They would spread it around. And that's what Jax used to do. And I think Mattel needs to go that same route.
I agree. But here's the thing, too, is if you do include Amazon in that list of online retailers, packaging becomes a huge concern if you're a mint on card collector.
Well, it's not just Amazon.
Well, right, right. But if we're using the example of Amazon, Megalopolis, and Entertainment Earth, I have not yet received, as nobody else has, the Macho Man SDCC from Entertainment Earth. I'm really curious to see how their packaging is.
Yeah.
Because they are shipping out a true collectible item. There better be some packing materials in that box. If they're shoving them in boxes and just shipping them out and they're received damaged, there is going to be huge backlash. And you know who wouldn't do that? Megalopolis.
Yeah, they take care of their packaging.
They treat their items as collectibles. They are 100% customer driven. And if you order something from them, they go to great lengths to ensure that you get your item mint on card, not folded over and shoved into a box that's 10 times too small so you get damaged carding. Not everybody's a loose collector. So that is one huge plus of going through Megalopolis.
My favorite part of theirs is that they'll take pictures of your shipment being boxed up with all the packaging. You know, you're getting constant emails from them saying, hey, here's the status of your order. It's like Domino's Pizza, right, dude? Here's the status of your pizza right now. It's going in the oven.
Exactly. It's like the order tracker. Here's the other part of it, too, is if you do get your figures and you didn't pay for the damaged packaging, because they offer that too. They have the regular figures, and if it's a damaged package, they'll tell you right on the site, at a discount, you can get this one instead. If you order Mint on Card and they send you that figure and it's damaged for whatever reason, you contact them. They will take a picture of the replacement figure that's going to come to you and say, is this okay? And you either bless it or you say, no, I want a different one. They'll send you another picture just to verify that you have a Mint on Card figure coming your way. But the odds of receiving damaged figures through them are very, very low.
Thank you, JT, for your weekly question. Scott, that rounds out episode 180, everyone. Remember, Pro Wrestling Tees is having their holiday sale, so go pick up a Fully Posable shirt. You can get the Boring Just Boring or any of other ones that are on our site. I want to thank Ryan from Wrestling Toy Tracker for everything that he did for the Carded Hasbros. That means a lot that he put up those for a giveaway for our listener, and congrats to Matt on winning. Scott, one more time to Eagle Moss.
Dude, I can't stress it enough. At @HeroCollector_ on Twitter, give them a follow. Go check out their pictures. They've got the entire assortment of their statues available in a picture on their Twitter. Go give it a look. You get to see the ring that you get if you subscribe to the figures or to the statues. Go give them a look. Beautiful packaging. The statues look fantastic out of the box. They'll look even better in the ring once you've subscribed and gotten the ring. Excellent product. I'm a huge fan.
Also want to throw it out to our podcast partners, Breaker and Bane, a show about Funkos, and they drink sodas that are nasty, which I don't know how they stomach. They talk wrestling. They talk a lot of general stuff. Love those guys. Very funny.
Also fans of Bang.
They just had Eric Rowan on for part one. They're going to have Eric Rowan on for part two. So make sure you go check them out. Doing the Favorite Guys, two shows drop each week. Eric and Barry, those guys are awesome. One thing I love about those guys, Scott, is when they came into the Fig Life, they just endeared themselves to everyone, man.
Yes, they did.
Those two are just awesome, awesome guys. Two shows each week, one on wrestling, one on wrestling figures. Those guys are great. Go give them a listen. It's called Doing the Favor. Steve over at the PPW podcast, he's great also. Him and I are texting about Chicago already. We're also texting each other about the meetup next year already in Tampa.
Wow. We're almost a year out. Like, that's, well, a little under, but man, already?
There's some ideas that we're kicking around for the meetup. He's actually helping me out kind of pre-planning this, so.
Excellent.
Yep. Marty and Sarah, they welcome their buddies in each week and give a fun improv show. And Jeff Palmacchio's Not Your Mama's Soap Opera, and also Ryan Budd's Daily. He does trivia daily. That's all it is just trivia. It's 10 minutes, quick little ride to the gym, wherever you're headed, to work, wherever it may be. Quick little 10 minutes on trivia, and you get to exercise your brain. And last but not least, I do want to plug the Cassatt Show, who had Grimm's Toy Show on this past week. So give that a listen. I want to say Grimm did an excellent job on that show. Him and Jordan just seem to have a good witty banter between them. Jordan does that. He's able to pull that as an interviewer. He's able to pull a lot of those listeners in and just have a good, fun conversation. So the Cassatt Show, and Cassatt is C-A-S-S-A-T-T, the Cassatt Show. Scott, roll call.
Roll call, of course. And I can't believe this is the first time we're mentioning him this week. The great Jason Wolf. You can follow him on Twitter at JasonWLF. Give him a follow. If you need artwork, he's your guy. He's timely. He's nice. He gets back to you right away. And did I mention that his work is amazing? If not, his work is amazing. Go give him a follow on Twitter at JasonWLF. Also, at your buddy CJ. Our buddy CJ writes a figure column. Go check him out on Twitter, again, at your buddy CJ. And this week, Jeff, figure photographers. Last week, I threw it out to the great Nate. This week, going back to the top of the list. And I'm going to rattle off these three for you. Of course, the great Sean Welch. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Sean, that's S-E-A-N, Welch Photos. Unboxed Alliance, give them a follow, at Unboxed Alliance. And last but not least, Matt. And you can follow him at MattS4400. Go support those great figure photographers. And Jeff, pretty soon I'm going to have to add you to this list.
Dude, I've taken all of two pictures.
Hey, you got to start somewhere. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Take that with you. Feel free to use it.
Dude, look at you go, man. Wooing me over with words.
Wow, Wowie zowie. Put it on a poster.
Scott, for episode 180, anything else?
Of course there's more. Fig Life since 2016, toy spotting since 1985, and happy toy hunting.
Thank you to everyone for listening to episode 180. Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.
Fully Posable. Let's go. Jeff and Scott, the Toon Brothers, busting out the ring. But we don't take it out the box, MOC. Happy toy hunting, we'll see you next week. We're the OGs of WFP. Fully Posable, thank you all for listening. It ain't no storyline, real life siblings. So everybody go and do your toy spotting. Hashtag Fig Life, adios from the Kings.